Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Talking Sports Plus. It is always good to have an opportunity to come before you. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host, and I'm very excited to come before you again because, you know, we offer some expertise on sports. We're not like the normal talking heads or pundits. We come to you a whole different way. We bring the plus, and the plus is talking about historical black colleges and universities, high schools, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're just so excited to be here again on our opportunity to share these great thoughts that we have tonight. And tonight I have so far one of my co-hosts, and I want to make sure I introduce him because he's here with me, and I never want to leave him out. I have to give him that grand introduction, and the rest of the co-hosts, when they come on, I give them that same grand introduction. This gentleman is from the South. He's down there close between the area of Op and Dothan, Alabama. And he's well known for leading up what they call the E-Train. And his name is Darrell E-Train Elliott, the coach of the airwaves. Hello, Darrell.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Glad to be on the show. Let's get going. I'm especially happy that some of my friends' team is going to the NBA final. I'm glad about that.
Hey, this gentleman here will give me a chance to introduce himself. Hey. Let me give you the right introduction, brother, before you jump ahead and get on that call. You know, I saw that text that y'all sent between each other. I appreciate y'all staying on top of each other. But let y'all know, this gentleman, I'm so proud to be acquainted with him. He's a special guy. And his name is Coach Tony Stallworth. And we want to congratulate him for the service he provided to the education setting, all with the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Congratulations, because he's retiring. As of July the 31st, he'll be like I am, getting up at 10 o'clock. Tony Stallworth.
Hey, Al Wade, glad to be back. Big E, Big Darley, you can't find me tonight, baby. I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
I know how to say my job.
Hey, the pink slip was getting ready to be red then. They already started putting the ink on it. But that's all right. We glad to have you back, my brother. I know when you're doing your job, you got to do what you're supposed to do, and we understand that. We appreciate having you here, both of y'all, and the other two co-hosts, and that's Coach Tremaine Edwards and the lady of the hour, which is the lady, the millennium, that's Coach Laura D. Smith. They haven't joined us yet, but when they sign on, I'll make sure I introduce them as well. Hey, brothers, you know, it's good to have y'all back with us again. We're the team of three. We're the trio tonight, huh? We're the trio. So we'll be the trio tonight. So until we get the other cast in here in a minute. So the title of tonight's show is Who's Up for the NBA Finals Quadrilogy. Not trilogy, but quadrilogy. Who's up for it? And tonight we're going to focus on some things. Now, again, let's make sure we get our call-in number at 347-857-4192. And if you can go to the web link and to hear the show, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/LDSmithProduction. And let me put on it, if you want to email us, you can go to talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Hey, brothers, let's kind of get this thing started up now. Let's kind of look at a storyline. In our coach's corner, we always talk about a storyline. What would be the storyline in the more or less in the NBA Finals quadrilogy? Now, what would be the story? It hasn't happened yet, but I want us to kind of start off early this week. We're going to give our storyline from the beginning. And I want each one of y'all to share some thoughts about what you think going to happen upcoming against with Cleveland and the Warriors.
Well, I always said you can't win a championship unless you're in the finals. So we're going to have a champion one way or the other because it don't end in a tie. I would think that the storyline would be, let's give kudos to LeBron to have the courage, I'm going to put it on him, to fire a whole lineup mid-season, bring in a new lineup, make a commitment, play all 48 minutes. Let's just look at this. Went seven games, won 1-4, came back in six. Let me say this. The man is superhuman. And the storyline would be this. Yeah. Just getting that team there should satisfy Cleveland Cavaliers. That's my storyline.
Well, I'm going to say this. I agree with Tony Stallworth high up in his next series of the game. I'm going to say this. LeBron James cannot win it by himself. He got trouble.
and on top of that, I'm going to add to this. I was just like Coach Stallworth said, LeBron grabbed those guys and drug them. They didn't want to go now. They didn't want to go. But he drug them anyway. That's a storyline. He drug a group of individuals to the finals that didn't want to go. But you know what? They said, well, I guess we better jump on the back of this wagon and go with this man because he's making us go. He almost like a slave master. I hate to say it, if people ain't get offended. He just browbeat them. He just grabbed and said, come on, you're going no matter what you do. And you know, that's the storyline. That's the way I kind of see it. So that's what I see upcoming, is that he's going to carry them in there, whether they want to go or not. and they're going to go there and give whatever effort they have, and when they lose, it'll be over with. They'll be like, well, thank you, but I'm so happy. And the last thing, the last storyline I'm going to give y'all right quick, you know what that storyline is? When they get through, they say, we're all going to Disney World.
Or fishing.
So all of them going to Disney World once they get it over with.
Dr. Smith.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Smith, on a serious note, kudos go to LeBron, you know, to have the nerves to make a move of that nature and to bag that move with committing himself. I mean, I'm back with the Michael Jordan era and almost back to Walt Frazier, Lou Alcindor, which ended up being Kareem, Oscar Robertson. I've never known anybody to play the entire 48 minutes. Now, I'm just be honest with you. I've never known an athlete to have the stamina and the physical structure not to even be injured. You remember in game 6 when he came up lame, came on the sideline, put some ice, came back in the game? I can't say that for Kevin Love, though. Kevin Love started seeing stars. He didn't want no more.
He's dragging him.
Kevin will pull one of those every now and then. Hold up. I'm out. Y'all go ahead. I'll be back in a minute. So LeBron knows what he has. But let's give the man. You can say what you want about the MVP candidate, who the sports writers and the commentators want for that award. But when it's all said and done, he's it. Hey, let's admit it. He's it. I mean, I don't think any other player. Kevin Garnett could have made that move. Stephen Curry couldn't have made that move if I had his team. You let Stephen Curry run off four of the players and come back to my win. They would have won a game. I mean, single player in the league. And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't always been a LeBron fan, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm an ex-coach. I've had players I didn't like, but I love them at the end because, hey, what they contribute. And I'm going to give him my kudos, and that is the storyline. A man that took a bunch of players on his back and rolled them into the finals. And said, don't be shocked. So they may decide to play now. That's my story.
Right, hey, Coach. Exactly. Hey, Coach. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player alive today.
Hold on.
When you look at it.
Must be starting something.
Well, you know, I'll say this. There's none greater than the legendary Michael Jordan in my mind.
Thank you, sir.
But LeBron James is the greatest basketball player on the court today.
There you go. You got that right. Exactly. I agree totally.
And that's my storyline. But he can't do it by himself, guys. He can't do it by himself.
But you know what? Just like Brother Stalwart said, that group that's was named J.R. Smith, he just might rise to the occasion. He's making $100 million. I don't know why he can't rise to the occasion. Kevin Love, if he can ever get back, you know, because, you know. Now, let's go back and look at that situation since we're talking about Kevin Love. Kevin Love and Jason Tatum bumped head, right? Jason Tatum went out and came back in the game. Mm-hmm. Kevin Love was knocked out. But that's pretty much how his career been. His career been.
That's right.
When he stayed hurt. He stayed like that. So it's not uncommon. It's just like on the other side, let's go over to Boston. Let's talk about Boston since we talked about the storyline of what's going to happen in the finals. But let's look at the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's look at Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving been in the league by 6 years. And I guarantee you've been hurt for them.
That's right.
These players right here making all this money and talking about some of the greatest players, they need to take a note from LeBron. That man is extraordinary. I applaud him because, you know, some people say, you know, I heard him on the show say, well, you know, he's a crybaby. You know what? He may cry, and then he'll go take his ball home, but he's going to come back, and he'll carry everybody else with him when he come back. And
that's
the
true.
Good part about it, he proved in this year that LeBron's stands to be up at the level of some of the great players. I'm not saying Michael Jordan, but as some of the Magics, the Kobe, the Kareems, up there. That's something, you know, we're going to talk about because we got expertise and thoughts about it. But no, we're not trying to put him up there where Michael Jordan is, MJ.
Wait.
Let you know. He proved something. He proved something so far. Go ahead on, sir.
He win 23 numbers, so he must be feeling something. So, but let me just say this about him, though. You know, the caliber of athlete he is and the commitment that he makes him superior to every player in the NBA. He doesn't go out and do and pull a Kevin Durant try to find somewhere to take a ride. And I don't blame Durant for that now because of all the downfalls he had trying to get there. But that's the difference between a LeBron and the other players. He wants to take that stage and he wants to make that step out there. Now, some folks will make that step out there, and then when they get kind of dog and cloud, like Kevin Love, they want that back. They want that back. LeBron has shown things that most college players now can use that type of incentive in creating careers. Because everybody ain't going to be lucky enough to sign that big dollar contract and all of a sudden can't play no more. Because eventually what's going to happen is, and Dr. Smith, you know too, they're going to eventually put some clause in these contracts. They have too much money invested. Or they're going to shorten the deal, one of the two. And they need to. That's a lot of money.
Exactly. A lot of money they're playing with. Some of them call it house money. It's a lot of money. But again, when we look at this situation, the storyline, and then we're going to move to the next topic. But a call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of this discussion, giving us and showing us that your expertise is at the highest level, press 1 and give us, and I'll give the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, and then I ask you to identify yourself by giving your name, your location. All right, my team, let's look at Kyrie. Let's look at Kyrie. Kyrie Irving. And the question is, how should Kyrie feel about the series between Boston and Cleveland? And then we're going to discuss why he didn't show up for game 7.
I think Kyrie's situation is pretty much, wait a minute now, I came over here to make a difference. And since I've been injured, and Gordon, this team took off.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of inferiority complex here. And then you look at the team. He sat on that bitch now until Cleveland came to town. Now think about that. So when LeBron shows up, then it becomes a little more reflective, and it becomes a storyline itself with those commentators. You know how Barkley and them like to jump on things.
Oh yeah.
Game seven. Think about this. Either way, that's the only game that both teams do what? Meet and greet.
Greet. Yeah.
And he would have to greet. He would have to greet LeBron, win or lose.
Exactly.
And I think he felt a little bit of that inferior, seeing it going down. That hold on, I might not can take that stand. Look at Chris Paul. Chris Paul stayed with his team through. In fact, he took on some challenges where he thought the officiating was not balanced, and used some of his, should I say, back in the days, league operation management tactics, and they didn't say anything to him. They respected him. Kyrie ducked his head. Every time the camera came on, he was going down and leaning. He never sat on the bench, sat behind. That might be telling me something. Well, I'll say this. LeBron might be right about him. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know a whole lot more about a player when you're in the dressing room, when you're in the locker room with him. And whatever in the dark, so usually comes to the light. And he showed that in that series, And don't think those young players didn't buy into that. Now, they saw that as well as Brad Stevens.
Exactly. So as we saw that occur, you know, one of the things was, you know, discussed throughout by the pundits and talking here was, you know, why he was not on the bench. But then they gave the excuse that the Boston Celtics general manager gave a good excuse, say he had to have nose surgery. So he didn't want nobody to see him with nose surgery. But this nose surgery he could have done 3 months
ago.
Well,
he could have had nose surgery next week. He wasn't playing. He had nose surgery next week. That don't hold water.
That don't hold water. He ain't want nobody to see him with his nose. Yep. Well, the thing about it, it's over with for him. Now he can go to 1, 2, 3, go to Disney World. He's fine. He can take everybody with him he wants to. All right, let's look at LeBron. Can LeBron help his legacy in this series coming up? If he loses, will it affect his legacy? If he wins, will it help his legacy?
Okay, there will be an excuse. That will be an excuse if he loses.
Okay.
You know, I gave you an excuse at the top of the show. LeBron is by himself. He's a man on the island on this team right now, and that's the bottom line here. And everybody knows this. You take LeBron out of the equation, and this team folds. To name two other people who have stars like the Warriors sitting over there. Name me two that can do what four of those Warriors players can do in terms of the weapons that they have sitting over there in the West waiting on us. So LeBron James will get that excuse. He'll get the pass. His legacy is going to be increased regardless of win or lose on this particular championship because the cards that are dealt on that sideline with him. Even though he went and grabbed these people, cleaned out his line, as Coach said, and brought in – Rodman's, you know, kicking and grabbing, it still was not enough. It wasn't enough. He didn't get the right Chicago Bulls team beside him to take this next seven games. So, yeah, he'll get a pass, and his legacy will live on. It won't be tarnished at all. That's my 2 cents. Go ahead, Coach.
It would increase. I'll add to that because there's only one other player in the history of the NBA that has won the MVP in a seven-game series or in a championship series and lost. You know who that was? Jerry West. And LeBron stands to win the MVP definitely if he win it and got a chance to win it if he lose. So his legacy, as Darryl said, is predicated on what he has done previously. Just to get this bunch there. And the bigger the stage, the bigger he gets. And just to know that, hey, not only that, he could be MVP of won or low, and he can end up being the league MVP, whether you want to give it to him or not. So, hey, the stage is set. Somebody's going to get into some big-time controversial issues about where it needs to go. But I'm going to say this right here. Which one of them players still playing? LeBron still playing.
LeBron still playing. Yes, sir.
Still playing.
Yes, sir.
And the big game.
Still playing. In the big game. In the big series. All right, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Hey, hit that dial. Call us. We want you to share your thoughts about the conversation. Tell us what you think about LeBron and his legacy. We want you to talk about that. It doesn't matter if you wait 15 minutes from now, we'll be here. You can call us back, but we want to have you on the line sharing some thoughts here. Now, we're going to kind of move off the East and kind of move to the West, my brothers. And we want to move over there to those Warriors. We want to discuss their dynasty. Are they lucky or overrated?
Did I hear the millennial kind of get in there earlier? She gone. Did I hear her?
No, she haven't made it yet. Haven't made it yet.
I got you. Here's what I see.
Now, she, go ahead, Auburn.
The proof is in the pudding. They created that dynasty before Durant got there. He jumped in. It moved forward.
Mm-hmm.
There have been times when Stephon, another one of those $202 million men that going down with injuries a lot now, has been unavailable to provide services, yet they were still able to move forward. This is the first time in the history of the NBA that I know of, and I've been around a little bit while longer than the two of you, that both teams are in the finals that won on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The excuse given to the Dallas last year is that they got an advantage because they're always at home. Okay, you got Houston got them away from home this time. Didn't make any difference. The dynasty is there because they have quality players in comfortable positions. They have a coach that's a player's coach who knows how to relate to him because of his past, because I don't agree with that message he sent to Durant by talking about Michael Jordan the other night, but if it's all right with Durant, it's all right with me.
But exactly.
I don't think, but the answer to the question is, I think the dynasty is there. And again, I'm not a Warriors fan, but I'm a basketball fan, and I respect things when they're done, especially when they're done proper and in order. Are they lucky? I can say that any time that you can get to a point where you're back to the wall, no fits now, and one of the opponent's best players at the brink of them being eliminated gets hurt, that might have been a little bit of luck when Chris Paul got hurt now. That's my word.
Yeah. And your words are taken very kindly, put it that way, because when I look at this question, whether or not the Warriors dynasty is based on luck or overrated or considered to be overrated, I say that sports is all about that edge. And the edge may be you may have to have a little luck. Somebody might have to get hurt to put you in a position.
That's right.
To be successful. It's not saying that you're not.
Unfortunate. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate that does happen.
We don't want to see
but it's all about the game. It's
okay.
All about the game. So we got to understand that. You're going to have a little luck in there. Unfortunate that Chris Paul got hurt. Unfortunate that he
because
couldn't play in the last two games. Andre got hurt with the war. Unfortunate, but you know what? You still got to play the game because every one of those players out there, that's their job. So even on your job, you got to have a little luck every now and then to be successful.
That's right.
So there's nothing wrong with it. But the point about overrated, I don't think they're overrated. I think they, and I don't feel like they're overrated because when you say overrated, meaning that they don't really can't live up to their ability, I believe they're living up to it. I'm talking about the Warriors. They're living up to it. Yes, they added Durant, and when they added Durant, they took it to another level. Now, remember what the discussion was at the beginning of the season. Can anybody play with the Warriors? Just remember that. But there was a phase in there when they didn't win the West. Then they came back, and they we can go back and look at this finals in the West. The series was 2-1, okay? And everybody said it's over with. Barkley even said it was over with in three. He said it was over with in three. But the next round, they was able to fight back and got a – I mean, Houston got a few lucky breaks there at the end of the ball game where they – if they had went down 3-1, oh, you could pack them bags early, you know. So luck worked both ways. Are they overrated? No, but they said that because now Houston – can compete with them because they got Chris Paul and they have James Harden. But they still got four weapons over there, man. Sometimes I ain't know – I've never known folk and two can outdo folk. That's my biggest concern. So I don't think they're overrated, and I think they have some luck, and they should enjoy the luck. So now they're playing in the series to repeat as NBA champions. Some people already crowned them. Bengals put them in a position that they should win it handily, probably 4-1 or 4-2. But let's not be surprised. You always say the NBA. And, Darryl, you always say that. The NBA is all about got to make some money. Can't make no money in five games. Can't make no money in three or four games. You got, so that means that it's going to be some time where, as Harden said, that they got a few calls. Yeah, LeBron's going to get a few calls so Cleveland can keep the money flowing. So I see them as being lucky and not overrated. So that dynasty is there, and it can be there another year or two. Unless, and let me throw this out to you, my brother, unless LeBron decides to take his show to Houston, it will keep
unless Kevin,
yes, sir.
Kevin Durant is a free agent, not to go back.
There you go. Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly.
See?
So you got
to change.
Uh-huh. Exactly. And see, you got some things going on now that where the some things may flip and go the way that it should go. Now, everybody says, LeBron decides to go to Philadelphia, then, but I still think them puppies got a problem over there. They're still young. And that's what happened to Boston. Them puppies had to play. And the puppies may not be ready to play with all that pressure. And I still think with LeBron now, there'll still be some pressure on them. They've got to get a year or two with them. Then in return, let me throw something out to my team, and we're going to get back to some of the things we was talking about. But there's going to be some trades, and I'm sorry, not no trades, but free agents occurring as soon as the season's over with. Everybody think LeBron is going to Houston or Philadelphia. I heard someone say, one of the talking heads said that, what would it be like if LeBron go to L.A., Chris Paul go to L.A., and Paul George go to L.A.? What do y'all think about that right there?
Well, here's my prediction. I'm like Darryl. I deal with data. Statistically speaking, LeBron has a home in L.A. Also have a production center in L.A. because he's one leg into movie production now. Kawhi Leonard, hometown is in L.A.
Okay.
And you have Magic Johnson in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody can pull off some magic, it can be magic. Now,
yes,
you can say what you want about Kawhi Leonard. He's hurt, but he might be third best player in the league.
Yes, I agree.
He's a, should I say, game changer.
Uh-oh.
Real quick.
There we go.
LeBron to Philly. If he wants to stay in the East. But I think he might have enough of the East now. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
If he stays in the East, he's still got to carry a team on his shoulder regardless. If he goes to the West, he can take the ride. That's my word.
Exactly. That's your word.
That's
and,
my word.
You know, that's your word. And you know they put a little bit on the hill. You said a game changer. So I throw a little game changer in there, my brother. Do some game changer. What do you think about that? That's all right, there, my brother. Yeah. Go ahead, on word.
Hey, Smith, got to be careful there. You're stepping in on in Darryl's lane. That's his lane.
That's his lane. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like a winner. Yeah, we're going to get Darryl back here like we lost Darryl for a second, but we're going to get it back here. He'll get back with us in a minute. There you go. There we go, Darryl. We got you back. Look like we had dropped you for a minute. You're back, my brother. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually right here, and I missed part of what you guys were saying, but I want to add an addendum. You know, the moves will be wonderful, and wherever LeBron goes, he's still got to be LeBron James, and he still has to be that star. So, Hollywood, look out! I see it coming.
You see it coming. Make it making some movies, doing some cartoons, doing a lot of stuff, some sitcom. Look like LeBron, look like he might be on the move, but that's where we see it on this side. So, you know, we just want you to call in 347-857-4192, share your thoughts, share your ideals. What do you think about LeBron going to L.A.? Oh, you got the lights, you got the camera, you got the action. Showtime. It'll be
got
showtime
home.
Got, for LeBron.
Got a movie production. Yeah, got a home out there.
There you go. So all of those good old things that can happen. What do you think? So call in, share your thought. Press 1, and I'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'm going to ask you to identify yourself with your name and your location. All right, let's kind of look at one particular person, a player in that West with the Warriors, Stephen Curry. Seemed to have a playoff reputation, and that reputation is third quarter, he lights you up for 17, 18, 19, but he also get everybody else in the game as well, where they scoring 64 and sometimes 45, and, you know, they outbeating you by 3 times your number. So what about that playoff reputation for Stephen Curry with the Warriors? His reputation of making it happen in the third quarter.
I have to agree that Steph, and again, I'm not a Stephen Curry fan either. It's kind of hard. You know, he's like a fantasy player to me, yet he get it done. But anyway, I look at it as he has done it along the way before the arrival of Kevin Durant. And his presence does draw attention, and his presence does deliver. Because he's stretched defense so far as unreal, and his ball handling skills are phenomenal. But they are very much beatable sometimes with him, and they can't survive without Durant. So you got a little bit of a parallel there. And there's no, I won't think there's no, should I say, downfall to Stephon, because you got two different caliber players. You got a 7-foot with ball handling skills, excellent defensive skills, and can also stretch the defense. But what I tell you, one thing I do like about Stephen Curry, he is the type of player that knows how to mold what he does and to make sure that those that are contributors as well are respected and get their share as well. You know, some players can't do that. He'll be the first one to tell you that that used to be his team. It's not his team anymore. It's Durant's team. But he still maintains his role going down the stretch. Again, he's one of those, if he thumped that toe, he got to sit down now. But he stays on the bench. He stays with his team.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the other guy we were talking about. So I think
Kyrie Irving.
Stephen Curry. Yeah, I didn't call that name. That wasn't right.
Yes, sir. Yes, call him out.
No, you're going to let sleeping dogs lie. but to ask you a question and to stay on the topic, Stephen Curry deserves the playoff reputation because he has earned it. He earned it way before the playoffs. He won it in the dynasty years that he had before Durant. And he's a player that everybody likes to play with. And I think that, again, he's not one of my favorites because I'm a little bit picky and chooser of what I like in a player, but he is the caliber player that deserves his playoff reputation.
That's all right.
Because, you know, if you really want to find out his difference, let that third quarter hit, and they can be down 15. It's kind of a storm in the road, baby. Let me tell you that now.
Yes, sir.
I got to the point now, and I watch them in the third quarter. I don't watch for a second.
You're right. Woo. All right. That's, and the thing about Stephen when Durant came in, just remember they was a 7-3 win team, but they didn't win the championship game because they lost to LeBron that year in the seven game, game seven, out there at the Oracle. But the bottom line is when Kevin came in, it was a whole different attitude. But Stephen seemed reserved himself, and when the third quarter comes there, I saw some things, and everybody was talking about Houston, what Houston was going to do. Houston looked good, 17 points in the first half ahead of the Warriors. Got to the third quarter, I kept saying, I said, something's going to happen. The floodgates are going to open up. And they open up, and Stephen opened them up. He helped open up, and Durant opened them up. And they was just open up all of it. Klay Thompson, who sit on there with three fouls, but he came back, he fired in 19-20. So that's a magical group out there. So we're going to say the Warriors is not so much as good and not so much as they're lucky and they're not overrated, but that dynasty still exists. So we want to be looking at them and we want to enjoy this series because Quadrilogy is coming. Quadrilogy is coming. That means this is the fourth time they're getting at it. We're going to see some positive things happening with them. All right, as we was talking about the black blockbuster free agency deals, we kind of jumped on that already. But is there any other thoughts about that? Any other possibilities, some trades that, some free agents that make an impact, like Juan Leonard, is he going to stay with San Antonio? Maybe he'd leave and go to L.A. or he might go to Cleveland. You know, what's your thoughts on that in regards to those blockbuster free agent deals during the offseason?
There's another one down south that we failed to not recognize. That's DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins will be a free agent going forward as well. And I evaluated New Orleans with DeMarcus Cousins not being out there. That team had, to me, had a little bit more balance. And you get more out of Davis because Davis and Cousins sometimes get in each other's way. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they get him out of there and get another small forward to go with Davis and go forward. I'm not real sure about that. They saying that they want him. I mean, Gentry say he wants him back. That's what every coach is supposed to say. But Gentry Gentry is not the one that's spending the money. But if you evaluate them, they look a lot better in sequence and team oriented with DeMarcus Cousins not being out there. And you know, DeMarcus Cousins sometimes can be a little bit of a liability now. I know firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think we all know that.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
He would be a player to hit that market big though. It'll be a lot of grabs. And New Orleans, they keep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's definitely a free agent deal. That's something to keep an eye out for in the off season. What about Kyrie Irving, guys? Really, really, I'm talking in the form of, I know he's not a free agent. Is Boston really, really can perform at the level when they perform without him, with him coming back? Everybody said they're going to be so much better when he come back and Hayward come back. Really? I saw the young guys playing a little attitude. A little, the Rough Riders, that's what they call them. The Rough Riders playing pretty tough without him.
Well,
what do y'all think about him? Yes.
You look at Tatum. Tatum is a much better player when the ball comes down the court and it gets to him after the first or second pass. Kyrie is another one of those 25 dual guys now. And that sometimes takes. Notice Tatum became his supremacy rose when Kyrie went what? To the bench.
Bench, yes.
And I'm not sure that a part of that team ain't his now for what he done going to that playoff. Brad got some moves to make in order to keep those Rough Riders still riding. Because it's a different type of system when Kyrie is in the game. And no blame to Kyrie because, hey, they knew what they were getting when they hired him. They let one ball held go, one ball held padded 20 times to get a no. And that's Isaiah for Kyrie. So
they were padded part of time.
You know what? I'm not gonna call that player's name because I don't know who may be listening in on that. But one of the NBA players said the reason why old buddy at Houston got tired. Because he dribbled 40 times.
They like dribbling. James Harden.
Now we all know if Kyrie maintains the role as a 16 to 17 point guy, 10 to 12 assists a game, and get those guys involved, ooh, they can really take off, because one thing he does have is experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another guy that don't mind taking the big shot, and there will be plenty of them to take. There's another guy on the court that's going to stretch the defense, and somebody's got a guard, and a guard at all times. So it's just a matter of Brad getting him to fit in what has been created in the eyes of the public now. That's what everybody's seen. Not in their practice facility. The whole world's seen that team without Kyrie. So Kyrie got to find a way to fit in there, and he can. It's just a matter of making a few sacrifices. He got some players.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, he do. He do have the players. And that's the biggest thing we're looking at. They've done so well without him. Is it going to be where, okay, we need you, but you got to make sure you include us, because you got people sitting on the bench that really want to come off the bench because they had to come off the bench. Rozier had to come off the bench and play. Smart had to come off and play, and they had success. So the question is the chemistry going to be affected if Kyrie come back? Even, you know, Hayward probably not won't have a problem because they can use a big man. But you got so many guards around there. Is it going to be affected? So that's something that's been talked about. Because, matter of fact, in the previous show, we did talk about Brother Star. We talked about Kyrie being traded, see if he's going to be traded, Kawhi Leonard. Some people talk about that trade possibility. Well, they wouldn't have to give up. They just have two main players swapping for each other. So that was one of the thoughts that was also we talked about for a couple weeks about that trade, possibly Kyrie to San Antonio and Kawhi Leonard to Boston, and how much better team that Boston would be.
Both teams would contribute from that trade. Both teams would. Because the thing about Kyrie used to play in a system. Coming from Pop and going to Brad Stevens is an easy fit for him. That's a good topic y'all had last week, because that's what he used to. Systematic type and coaching and things that allow his skills to develop. And he can be productive, and the team can be productive as well. He's a solid killer now.
Oh, yeah, he is. Leonard, he'll kill him now. He'll put you to sleep. And he can put 30, 40 points up there, and he'll involve other people. So that was something we talked about last week. All right, let's look at our college sports. And last week we started something. Last week it said 100 things you would like to see happen in college football 2018 within the next 97 days. Now, we started off with 100 days, and the team said last week more teams in the playoffs, players should get paid. Your Malaya said to see Auburn lose more games. And the other one, number four, was Florida, the question mark about what they're going to be capable of doing in this offseason. Are they going to get a quarterback or be able to use that young quarterback? Then the last thing was the transfer from Power 5 to Group of 5 without sitting out. That was the other thing that we wanted to see what occurred in those 100 days. Now we're at the 97 day. And I'm going to start this off, brother. I'm going to kind of mention what I see and would like to see happen. Get some clarity on this graduate transfer rule.
That's right.
Specifically in the Southeastern Conference. You transfer, and that's been the discussion in the meetings down in Destin.
about, and Nick Saban came on and said, why everybody looking at him? But to transfer as a graduate student, you don't have to sit out, but you cannot transfer from an SEC team to another one unless you get a waiver. That's something I like to see some decision made about in the next 97 days. So they're down in Destin. They're talking about it. So that would be number one.
Well, I think where everybody got misconstrued on the rule governing transfer within a conference, a lot of people got confused, and Saban was trying to clarify that too, that the rule clearly states you cannot transfer as an undergraduate. Am I right?
Unless you sit out. Unless you sit out.
But you can transfer as a graduate. Because as a graduate, you're a free agent.
Exactly.
And that's why the word free agent came in there, because that player now is not obligated to stay, but has a choice to stay. So if he chooses to move on, he has provided services 4 years for where the scholarship is given to, or 2 years or whatever, and that's over. So I think it's pretty much taking a choice. You're giving something, but you're taking it back from him. At the time to make the decision.
Exactly.
Because you allow a player to play out his playoff eligibility, even though academically he's what? Completed. So now why do you want to come say that he cannot be a free agent if his academics is completed and he has another year and wants to move on? He should be able to exercise both.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest challenges. But before we go on, we got to make sure we introduce our other co-host who just joined us. We had one co-host who had to leave. That was there. He had to go, but he said he'll try to call back in. But the lady of the millennium, our young lady who come and give us some very expert thoughts, Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
Good evening, everyone. Sorry for my extreme tardiness. I had a parent meeting tonight. Just got caught up in a parent meeting, but I'm here now.
Gotta take care of parents.
All right, Lauren, remember last week we was talking about 100 things, and I gave five of them. But we was just talking about the graduate transfer rule. What would you like to see happen in college football for 2018 within the next 97 days?
I really want to see who my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who they get as a quarterback. That position has been empty since Deshaun Kizer left. Yes, we had Wimbush back there last season, but that battle coming out of the summer into the fall for that quarterback, it's gonna really solidify Brian Kelly's job. I think if he does not have a good quarterback this year right here, somebody who can move that offense, I think Brian Kelly will be out of a job this time next year. So I'm really interested to see who wins out that Notre Dame quarterback job.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right, Brian Kelly out of a job will be something that if he does not put the right one in the right spot as quarterback, he might be out of a job. So that's something we're going to keep an eye on. Anything else we want to see happen in college football for this upcoming football season?
I'd like to see some balance in the four teams that are chosen. Let me take that back. Three other teams that are chosen in college football. I think what's going to happen here is you may end up having two SEC teams again in there, and that might be unavoidable. But
okay,
you know, it's just like the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers being in the playoffs. You know, I just like things to move around a little bit and just kind of. Of course, you know, if you don't earn it, you're supposed to get it no way. But I just like to see some balance in getting that playoff teams, some new faces. some new faces that could bring on some challenges. You know, like I said, ain't but three more spots left. You know who the other, you know who number one is gonna be. And you know, Dr. Smith, you know me. I really just like football. I usually don't choose teams. I just like football. By me liking good football, that automatically makes me like Alabama. But I'm not an Alabama fan. So I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I just Tupac said that's just the way it is. But I just like to see some good competitive balance. It has been. But I guess the cream always comes to the top, I guess. But it has been. I just like to see that. Let me just say it. I like to see that continue, so to speak.
Exactly. All right. So we want to see some balance in there. Some teams outside of Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
Being there are Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State when they get in, or either Penn State if they ever get in would be nice. And then somebody from the Pacific Coast. Somebody from the Pac-10 would be nice to be in the Washington was in there a couple years ago, but and Clemson, we already see the picture already. Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia.
Yes, sir. Buddy.
So, who else gonna take the other spot? Now, who's gonna take that spot? You know, because you already see them. You know, already there because they got the talent. They got the maturity. They got individuals. Even though they lost some people, they're able to replace people. So here they are, and then the schedule works in their favor. So we like to see somebody new. That's what we want to see, some balance, and it's not in the balance there. All right, we're going to kind of move forward because even though we got a little additional time tonight, we want to kind of look at what has occurred in what's trending dealing with high school athletics. We do want you to call in and share some thoughts about your historical black college or university, high school or middle school athletics. Just tell us what's going on within your area. But this is particularly important because it occurred last week. We had a female coach appointed as a head of a male basketball team, and it was at Jefferson Davis High School. We want to kind of look at this and share some thoughts about this. Is it good, bad, indifference? What effects would it have on the future? Whatever you just want to share about it, co-host, just how do you feel about this happening? Then I'll add my 1 cent or 2 cent in
there. Well, I'm going to say this. There was never an issue when several men took over girls' basketball in high school. That was not even a question. Let me give you some statistics, some data on that. Tim Miller won at Jeff Davis. Tim Miller won at, was it Bob Jones he went? No, he went to
Bob Jones.
And Tim Miller currently just won at Hazel Green. Ronald Jackson, Monroe County, four at T.R. Miller. Lauderdale County, Lou Allen, six at Lauderdale County. They're all men. So now that the you flip the script and you put a woman on a men's team, it becomes a, hold up now, can this work?
Exactly.
It's still being Title IX. I might want to be Title X on that one. I think
Title X.
Yeah. I think that you do have some concerns, but the biggest concern that you had with the cross-gender coaching was, or should have been, when men took over. And that has been a lot of success. So I think it should be something that inviting, so to speak, because there are some things that you have to look at. For example, when you had an all-girls team and males coaching them, in order to balance that, you got to get a female what? Female assistant.
Assistant.
If you're gonna have an all boys team with a female coach, now you gotta get a male assistant. So So
exactly.
Clean up that part and allow those develop relationships among the players. I don't think you'll have a big problem, but if you go in looking for problems, then you can always find them.
Exactly.
Again,
exactly.
The males have done successful with girls' teams. Why not give the ladies coaches an opportunity to do? But we have some bad men coaches out there now, Dr. Smith. Bad, terrible.
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm like Sam Cooke. It may be time for a change.
Exactly. It's time for a change. That's awesome right there. Coach Lauren, I want you to jump in on that topic.
Okay. Because I've been hearing a lot of chat about this, and people forget that I coach boys in the summertime. So at the end of the day, I was very excited when I heard the news a couple weeks ago that Coach Knight had got the job. I thought it's time for a change in the city. And a lot of people say, well, boys don't respond to women like that. I beg to differ. I coach boys all summer long, and I coach them at a high level, I do believe. And I get an amazing response out of them. I always say this. I think boys, I like coaching boys. I do not like coaching girls. I'm going to go ahead and say this right. I do not like coaching girls. I get a better response out of boys than I do girls. I don't know. It's because women seem like their mother figure, their sister figure. They're not going to disrespect you. They're going to listen. They're going to ask questions. They're not afraid of you. Where you have it as a woman coaching girls, most girls are intimidated because I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but most African American girls are intimidated of their mother. So it's certain things that they do not ask their mother. That they're anxious to know, but they're just so scared of the response they're gonna get. We get that a lot of times in girls basketball with women coaching girls. But when you have a man coaching girls, it's a different response. It's almost like, okay, that's my dad. I respect him in that sense. I'm not gonna talk like he talks. I'm not gonna disrespect him. So I've seen it from that side. That's why I say I think this is good for the city. I do not believe Coach Knight will have any problems when it comes as respect-wise and getting the kids to basically buy into the system. I do not believe that'll be a problem. It's going to be more of a problem for the public to actually see her coaching boys, and it's going to be a problem for the boys actually to play for her.
She has a little bit of a comfort zone because the success she's had at that same school previously. And by those guys have not been able to get to that level, they're going to buy into her real quick. They're going to buy into her because what she has done, and they most of them will witness that. Now, on the other hand, let's look over on Fabio. When Carver's coach, male coach, went out, the female coach stepped in and did a tremendous job. In fact, she went a month to getting that team into the region. So, I think the city of Montgomery may be sending out a message all over the state of Alabama, because both of those programs where those changes have been implemented have been successful. They both championship programs. So it may be a standard set now that somebody, you know, a lot of people wait to see how things do and say, okay, that's working. And then a lot of female coaches may become more courageous and ready to take on that approach. Now, just like Millennia said now, the men coaching girls look up into the male figure as more of a command approach. He's right. And they want to get out there and do what they have to, and they don't look at it as being personal. But when two women talking to each other and they get into arguments and feelings and attitudes, and eventually somebody shut down. I'm telling you, because I coached girls, my first coaching job in Monroe County, and that is an issue. That was an issue. So I think the trend has changed, and success factors don't matter who coaches. Kids want to win. So if you win, that's what they want. Exactly what they want.
Exactly. And just to kind of jump in right there, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. But I retired 2 years ago, and I retired coaching a girls' middle school team. And you hear my daughter over there talking, and that's Coach Lauren Smith. And I always said, I wouldn't coach
another boys team. I was going to just coach those girls because those girls responded so well to what she was asking to do. And I did that for like in Lyles County for over 9-10 years. And we was very successful. So I think the same way can happen as well with a female being the head boys coach. They're going to respond. So I look for great things to come out of Coach Knight over at Jeff Davis. She had success with the girls. The boys watched that success because they had sisters or brothers or cousins that was at that school.
That's
so they attended the game. So they know what to expect from her. She's going to be just as tough on them as she was on those girls. So I applaud Montgomery County. I applaud Jeff Davis, Mr. Abram over there, for taking that step. Yeah, that was a giant step because everybody want to question what you're doing, but he decided to make this move because it's all about giving the children, the young people, the students an opportunity for success. And if Coach Knight gives them that opportunity, hooray, hoorah, and we support them on Talking Sports Plus to the highest because each one of the co-hosts said we're going to be there to support them because we look forward to seeing that. So let's kind of get to kind of wrap this thing up right now. We just want to just say, talk about one more thing. And I know, Coach Smith, you're coming in at the end, but you're coming in at a good time. What impact does sports have on life? Last week we said that we reverse it. Do we need sports in our life? What impact? What impact can, and you can share with each one of you can share with us, what impact you think have sports have on life?
The gap in race. You can see how people come together of all nationalities and color and certain ethnicity, and when they come together in sports, all of that goes out the door. Sports in high school has a tendency sometimes to balance discipline issues. If sports, especially if you're winning, everybody's on board with winning, and there's a lot less other discipline issues that are going. You've been there, Dr. Smith, going around, and you there, too, Melanie, that going around in school. Sports also, especially at the high school level again, is a footstool to making sure, the footstool that's used to make sure that academics are up to par. Because sports is academic first. You know, you don't get the grades, you don't play.
Yes, sir.
Sports close the gap in a lot of things. And sports can be used. Look how sports was used with the national anthem. Sports is one of the top, should I say, figureheads that people respect because it is a stage where a lot of outstanding performers are being made and one of the most watched things on television. So sports is life. That's my word.
All right.
So what how do sports and life go together? I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to go to the academic side of it. Gives you an opportunity to get to schools that you had no idea that you would get to, academics included. So
that's
in
true.
Order to get into college, you must have a GPA of, what is it, a 3.0 and an ACT of an 18. Okay, so you can get to school lower than that, but you're not going to play sports. You're going to have to sit out a year. Or you're going to have to go to a junior college and get your grades up. So sports, I say sports allows you to become an all-around person. So it gives you the athletic side as well as the academic side. So you know if I don't do my work, I can't play. So when you have that ultimatum, you're going to go hard in both aspects. You're going to go hard on the football field, on the diamond, on the track, on the basketball court. And you're also going to go help them because you know, if I don't get what I'm supposed to have, I'm not going to play. And everybody wants to play. I have kids now. It's time to submit report cards for circuit play. and they know if they do not have a 3.0 and at least an ACC, you will not play for circuit play. So I'm getting report cards in as I speak, and I have majority 3.0s and majority 20 on ACTs. So you want to know sports and life go hand in hand? You can't have one without the other.
Awesome. And again, you know, we know how important sports is, as it stated, a summation was gave by both of the calls, and one was dealing with bringing race together. You know, there's some a setting where some only one or two of a minority race might be in a school system, and sports, they play sports, they up around, and they fit in like all the things. And a lot of times, even if they don't play sports, they may be doing something. So it plays a major role. Then, if you want to continue to grow to the next level, go and play at the next level, you got to make sure you maintain your academics. You got to make sure your social aspects are in order. You can't be out doing everything wrong and expect someone to offer you a scholarship. I don't care how good your academics is. Sports allows you the opportunity to keep you in the right perspective. You know, as the old coaches, Coach Stallworth and Coach Smith would say, you know, teamwork is important. You understand that your team count on you, so you can't go out there and do something wrong where they can't have you. You know, if you get hurt, it's different. But if you're out in the street doing something crazy, it affects your team members and all that. So it's all about life. So it helps you to make better decisions in life when you're a part of that team. And when you're part of the sports setting, you go out and make the right decision. So that's our thoughts about that. And we kind of like want to close it off right here. And I want my co-host to kind of lead us out of here in the best way they feel. Share some thoughts about what's going on. Then I'll close it out and do a shameful shout out to some people who are listening to us tonight.
Kudos.
We're going to close it out.
Kudos to my former player, Mr. Aubrey Wiley, which was very instrumental in guiding his son to come back to Auburn to finish his career in college basketball. Sometimes we get into this squeeze of trying to get rich too quick and forget about those things that we would never be able to cherish again, which is high school or college sports. This is the same young man that was taken out of high school and went to GI Academy down in Florida. So he missed that. So that's, you know, there's always something good to come out of bad. He's also the young man that even when all of the issues that were on his plate, he sat there on that bench. He participated in practice. He was loyal to that team. And people don't understand that team may have caught fire with his presence being there. But I just want to put that out there because most people may not know that has happened. But Wiley will be back at Auburn to play out at least another year of college basketball. And I think that's good for the sport of college basketball, especially in the South. And I know Millennia don't want to hear anything about Auburn. But you're not opposed to Auburn basketball, are you, Millennia? I know you don't like the football.
No, I'm not opposed to Auburn basketball. I actually like the basketball over football because they're not obnoxious fans.
Thank you, baby. I'm glad we got something in common here. But I say all that to say this again. It is so good to be back. And for all the listeners, as I always say, fun words. You take the night and don't let the night take you.
All right.
Oh, my turn? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry for my tiredness. I really want to be on the show tonight. The parent meeting just read extremely long. But, okay, my kind listeners that are listening out there, next Thursday night, June the 7th, I am having a fundraiser for the Alabama Roadrunners at the Zaxby's on Zelda Road in Montgomery, Alabama, between the times of 5 and 8 p.m. So I'm asking everyone to please come out. Buy a sandwich, get a drink, get a cookie, whatever you buy. The proceeds go to the Alabama Roadrunners. And we will so kindly appreciate your support of our fundraising next Thursday. Be on the list and on our Monday night show. I have another first one out. And Monday night on Talking Real to you. I will have the other fundraiser that we're about to start up. I have information about that. So have a safe, sane, and sober weekend. I'll see you guys Monday night.
Awesome, awesome. And you make sure you support the Montgomery, Alabama Road Runners, and Coach Smith is working hard. So she gave you information, so make sure you come out there. Also, I just, you know, I have a couple of listeners here, but just one particular young listener here. We have Carla Ruffins that's listened to the show. He's 11 years old, and we want to thank you for taking the opportunity to listen to Talking Sports Plus. And as we always say, what I keep on grinding because that's what it's all about. But one last thing I want to share. Next weekend, we'll be in Huntsville, Alabama. We'll take that road show called the Alabama State Games to Huntsville, Alabama. And in Huntsville, we're going to be playing all kind of games. You're going to be playing your basketball. You're going to be playing, you're going to have taekwondo. We're going to have wrestling. We're going to have softball, soccer. And it's called the Junior Olympics. Make sure you tune in. If you got time, just travel up to Huntsville, Alabama, starting on the 8th, which will be our opening ceremony. This was the Alabama Sports Festival Foundation, and it's called our Alabama State Games. Make sure you're there. Come enjoy a weekend of excitement, young people giving up their weekend and showing you their skills, showing you how important sports is to life. So make sure you're there. We look forward to seeing you. So we'll join you there on Monday night, Talking Real to You. Will be available. Be here at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So we look forward to talking with you next week. But, you know, we always want to conclude this show. But since I have my road dog here with me tonight, and I appreciate Coach Tony Stallworth being with us tonight, as well as the Millennial, which is my daughter. I have that song with Coach Stallworth, but he know the song that I want to play. Take a chance, the game on me, yeah. Oh,
wanna play no more. I don't wanna play this game no more, yeah.